I guess it's our, well, it is our first podcast, so you can tell I'm a pro at doing this sort of thing. By the way, I so gracefully introduced that. So I'm Jen. So who else is here?
I'm Trey.
I'm Kim.
And I'm Tash. And together we are...
Together we are episode one of the Save Game podcast, which I do believe we are going to be calling No Data Available.
I like the title.
Thank you. Star Wars The Old Republic. It's a pretty good game, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Addictively good, I would say.
It is the fastest growing MMO in ever.
In ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a unit of time now.
It is, actually.
One of the many reasons why Old Republic has been so successful is because it really does, I think, offer a lot to a variety of gamers. I mean, if you're really into PvP, which obviously Trey can speak about some more later, you know, that definitely that component exists, and I've heard it's very enjoyable. If you're more of a PvE player like myself, and there's just so much to do, you know, whether you like to solo quests, which I like to do as well, and then occasionally throw in some grouping, obviously that's always possible, and of course the companion system works really well with that. I just think it's such a fantastic combination of an RPG with an MMO, and I certainly have found myself enjoying the game that I was never really able to enjoy World of Warcraft to the same extent, which I played for, probably at least about 8 months or so, until I just got so fed up with what at the time, and I have to say that this is, you know, I quit playing right around after the Burning Crusade released. So if there's any huge World of Warcraft fans out there, and you know the game has changed a lot since then, excuse the statement, but I definitely felt that repetitiveness that I was experiencing World of Warcraft, I've not run into that at all yet in Old Republic so far.
It definitely has something for everyone. The writing is fantastic, and they definitely spared no expense with the voice acting, and spared no space on your hard drive for it either.
Exactly.
15 gigabytes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree with that as well. I feel like, you know, with Warcraft, there was always something kind of missing about it. And maybe it was the non-voiced, I mean, they didn't have cutscenes or a real story. There was always kind of this ambiguous lore that you were tied to. But this is definitely, you have a character, and you're going to watch this character in a story where they talk to people, other characters, and these other characters are very interesting. And, you know, so there's definitely an RPG element from people, especially people who, you know, love BioWare games. You know, that's one of the things that's always made BioWare kind of amazing, is that they have these compelling characters and these compelling stories, and you really feel like part of it.
I mean, one of the many things I enjoy so much about this game is that it's not just that as you take your character to the various planets that are out there for you to explore, you know, you obviously are working on your class quests, which obviously vary immensely depending on what type of character you're playing, and even within your class, the way in which you can react to the events that are occurring just can differ so much. So, you know, you have your own personal ongoing quest line, and then outside of that, you know, you have the sort of overarching plots that are happening on that planet itself, and then, of course, in the galaxy as a whole. I'm not going to spoil anything, but certainly there are planets that you'll visit, you know, as perhaps an Empire character, and you're going to see this struggle that's occurring there, and you know, you'll see the other side of that as a Republic character, and then after you are finally finished on that planet, you know, you'll kind of see the impact that your actions there have made on what's occurring. So it's really cool, I think, for me to, you know, not only be working out your own personal history, basically, but then also seeing, you know, the larger impact that your actions are having on the whole sort of, you know, overarching storyline of the whole game. And I think that's really amazing.
One of the things I heard, first heard from, like, Drew Karpyshyn and the developers at Celebration 5 a couple years ago was that your character is the best. They're the hope for the Empire, or they're the scourge of the Republic. And I think I mixed those up, but
That's
I didn't
okay.
really get what they meant until I actually started playing, and you really are the best smuggler, the best inquisitor or trooper, and, you know, the only hope for whatever side you're playing for.
A new hope, one would say, perhaps.
Oh!
Oh, see what I did there.
Is anybody else here really into having alternate characters?
Mm-hmm.
Because I definitely have a few. I have a bad habit of making a lot of characters. And then I usually only have time to play one. And so I end up having several characters that are all very low level because I start thinking, well, I should spend some time with my trooper. And then I don't. So as a result, my smuggler is not even, she's only level 30 and she's my main character. So I need to start focusing a little more. Is anybody else having that problem?
I definitely know what you mean. I have 4 Imperial types and they're all off of the starter planet, but with my Republic, the trooper is still in the starting transport right after you make the character.
I have to admit that I have 8 characters right now. I just made my 8th a couple days ago. He's an Inquisitor, you know, still level 3 at this point. But besides that, I guess my main would be my trooper, who is, God, what is she, level 37 right now, I think?
I know,
you're
blowing by all of us.
I know. So I've been playing her pretty solid for a long time, and I'm really loving her, you know, the whole experience of playing the trooper, which is, you know, certainly in part thanks to Jennifer Hale. Jennifer's fantastic, you know, voice acting. I'm really enjoying that so far. And then as I sort of went along, I ended up creating a couple more characters, including a Sith warrior, bounty hunter, smuggler as well. My second highest level character at this point is my Sith warrior, who I've been playing a lot recently, and I'm actually, I guess, this is the point where I have to make a really embarrassing, shallow confession.
Uh-oh.
And I have to admit that I probably the main reason why I created my Sith warrior is because I was kind of disappointed that my Jedi counselor hadn't met her love interest yet, and I saw that the Sith warrior love interest looked really cute, so I went ahead with that, and then I discovered that I was actually really enjoying the class as well. And, I mean, I was just so much loving the trooper gameplay of just being able to go in and blast everything away, you know, obviously using my assault cannon in this case, that I was sort of very pleasantly surprised to find myself, you know, enjoying this melee character so much. So now she's level 32, and the rest of my alts, except for my Jedi Knights, are kind of all in between sort of level 13 and 24. And it was kind of embarrassing because I have a full-time job, and I guess it's a good thing that I don't have a family that I need to support or take care of. So I don't have to feel guilty about the ridiculous amount of time that I'm putting into playing this game.
I have a husband? What are you talking about? No, I have a smuggler is what I have.
Still trying to go for Corso.
Of course. Of course, you know. Okay, let's talk about Corso for a minute there. Kim, you're a smuggler too.
Yes, that's right. And I have to say, although I actually haven't played my smuggler in a little while, I like Corso a lot, and I liked him even better after I figured out how to disable his harpoon shot ability, and especially after the patch that made it so that disabling did not get re-enabled every time you transitioned into a new area.
I like the harpoon, actually.
I like it too, but sometimes it is inconvenient if you're trying to kind of get all up close, or actually if you're trying to stay way at a distance and, you know, maybe do some, have
fighting.
Fun with their, yeah, exactly. And then, you know, along comes Corso and harpoon shot, and suddenly the the mob is right there in front of you, which is a little bit of a surprise, and you kind of have to readjust your tactics on the fly.
But it's like... fun when you actually, like, I suppose, group up with another person who has a corso, and they have the harpoon ability on as well, and the two corsos just play, throw the enemy at one another.
They have harpoon fights.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's like harpoon like football.
Uh-huh. Like the two Makos and their healing each other thing. Their healing bonding session.
Yeah, I see. I like the harpoon thing because it's like a little bad guy delivery system, you know? Just he brings it to me and then I can kick it in its crotch, whatever it is.
Oh, that's true. I did actually, yeah. Shamefully forget about the kick him in the nuts ability, which also works on droids. And,
interestingly enough.
And of course, Force Choke works on droids as well.
And
which
I can heal
also
droids.
Doesn't make sense. Oh, you can heal droids when you're at what do you play?
I play an Inquisitor.
Inquisitor. I have not tried. I can't play Empire.
No?
I just can't. I've tried. I have my little agent that I'm enjoying. She's very scary looking. She looks like Jack Skellington. A little bit. She's got scars on her face, and her skin is very, very white, and her hair is weird.
You got the Glasgow smile scar?
Yeah, actually, I think it's... No, I think it's, like, one half of her face is also...
Oh, that one.
Tosh, you have a few characters, too, don't you?
Yes. I've got Dex, who's the smuggler, who's my main. I've got a trooper called Dash, who I haven't really played all that much, and I think he's still on the first world. And another, what is it, hunter? Bounty hunter? This is how much I played him, who's on the other side. But yeah, it's. I think you get, I suppose, really, really invested in one particular storyline and you want to keep going. And that's one of the reasons that I like the game so much. It's like, I'm not playing through just so I can finish quests and level up anymore. It's more about, well, I want to see what happens next and what's the next conversation I'm going to have with these main characters. And I hope that that's something that continues on in the game and that it's still just as enjoyable when you switch and you play a different character because the experiences are so different.
For a little while, I was kind of switching back and forth between my Republic and my Imperial characters a lot, just because I didn't want to do the same planet over and over again, which obviously is something that you are going to be stuck doing if you create a whole bunch of characters kind of around the same time.
Like
but
Terrace, which is a soul-sucking planet. I feel like I could smell it through the screen.
Those Rakkuls, seriously. Everybody has a problem with Rakkuls.
It's so sadistic to have it on that planet so that you don't have a speeder yet.
Oh, yeah. That is terribly cruel. I actually was really pleasantly surprised that, you know, even though I was playing my agent on Hutta and my bounty hunter on Hutta, you know, obviously there was some overlap as far as the quests that they were doing. There was still, I thought, really enough diversity. I mean, certainly, you know, obviously brought to that by, you know, the fact that obviously you have your whole class series happening. But, you know, even outside of that, the regular quests that you're doing are still different enough to make it, even, you know, two characters doing the same planet basically at the exact same time, actually surprisingly enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah, the worlds in general are really beautiful. And, you know, I kind of like how if you go to Terrace and you're there for a million years killing a million Rakkuls. And
which
then,
you will be.
Yes. And then you finally get to leave. You get to go to... Where do you go now? You go to Nar Shaddaa? Is that where you go after that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And it's so pretty. It's this, like, really pretty city with, like, these holographic trees and bright neon lights. And I think the variety of the worlds is really is really neat. I've been doing a lot on Tatooine lately because... I don't know, maybe it's a feeling of nostalgia from the first movie, and I'm just like, oh my god, Tatooine, we need to hang out there. But I did most of Tatooine still not having a speeder, so that was fun.
Running around the dune sea.
Yeah. And the speeders are, well,
oh, man.
Tosh,
those
you
speeders.
Have issues with the speeders.
They look like lawnmowers. They can't possibly be comfortable, and... They really need to get cooler looking speeders because they're horrible.
What do you mean? I love standing with my legs splayed open.
Like, it could be
not even a seat.
Yeah, I feel really bad that there's not a seat, especially because you can just be going along for so long. And it just seems like the most awkward position to be forced to hold for possibly hours on end because, of course, you know, we're just seeing this in the, you know, you have to imagine that what is, you know, fits on your monitor as far as the map size is concerned in real life, obviously between quotation marks, would be so much larger. And yeah. So that's just a horrific idea. It would be, oh my God, I mean, my characters must have such horrible cramps in their legs and arms riding around.
I would love to see Kemval sitting in a passenger seat.
Or one of the big mechanical droids, like that you get with the trooper.
Oh, the trooper companion. Yeah. Oh my God, that would be amazing.
The companions are a lot of fun. I think they're, you know, with the smuggler, I only have two real companions now. You know, I have C2N2 that hangs out on the ship and says witty things. Bodar is a Wookiee. He's fun. Who doesn't love Wookiees?
You say that you like the companions, but you hate Risha.
She's not a companion. She's this, like, shady, slimy girl just hanging out on my ship trying to tell me what to do. I don't like her. She's always trying to tell me what to do.
Or complain that you haven't done it the way that she wants you to do it.
Yeah, she can get off my ship. I don't care.
I mean, I've really enjoyed the companions that I've had so far. I guess my one big complaint about that would be is that my Jedi counselor is now level 24 and she is only just about to get her second companion. So I guess my one beef is that you don't kind of, I don't know, the way in which the classes get the companions, like sort of at what rate they get them, can really vary. And I don't know, I thought that was a little bit disappointing.
I know what you mean. On the counterpart to the consular, Inquisitor, mm-hmm. you get Andronicus Revel on Tatooine, which is like in the 20 levels. So before then, you have to deal with Kemval, who is an okay tank, but not a great tank.
Yeah. You know, and
how
even
is
then
his romance, I think, is the question.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I have to admit that I'm a big fan of romances. I think that they, which, you know, my fellow staff members here will know more about.
I'm a sucker for it too. We can't help that, I don't think.
Right. I mean, and I think it does, you know, in a way add a lot to the way in which you're playing your character. I mean, I certainly had just such a hilarious time playing my Sith warrior, making the love interest, you know, that she has incredibly uncomfortable by flirting with him. You know, and of course, he's just insisting on professionalism, then she's not caring about that at all, which I found to be incredibly amusing. So.
I find it interesting that you can't have same-sex romances in Star Wars, at least not yet. I think they talked about maybe implementing mm-hmm. that later. But you can have a romance with a man who looks like a cat.
My trooper actually asked him to make her dinner, or actually, no, I think that was one of the dialogue options that I then escaped out of, which as a... As a quick aside, if you roam around save game a little bit, you'll find an article that we put together about, you know, tips for the beginning player in Star Wars The Old Republic, which can be very useful to you.
Yes, indeed.
So if you hit escape, basically you start the conversation all over again, which actually I found myself trying to do it when I was playing Mass Effect 1 the other day with my renegade character. Of course, that did not work, but it's a different matter.
I found myself trying to do that in real life, but sadly it doesn't work.
If that were possible, I think that would make everyone's lives a little bit easier. Eric is okay, but I guess...
He looks like a Thundercat.
Yes, he does.
And he's an absolutely great tank, and I'm using him a lot, actually more than the sort of more healing-oriented companion, but... You know, probably if you'd asked me 10 levels ago, I might have been more interested in romancing the healing companion because, I don't know, I was liking interacting with her more at that point. But, you know, as Jen obviously mentioned, it is adding same-sex romances is something that BioWare is apparently planning on doing in one of the upcoming patches, I guess. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yes, we don't know when that's happening, but I hear a tale that... that it is at some point.
If this game didn't have romances in it, I wouldn't play it. I'm sorry. The romances are what brings me in.
So, Has anybody else taken advantage of the PvP? I know Trey, that Trey, you have. I have not.
Oh yeah, I love PvP.
Yeah, I haven't. I feel like at level 30, I can't really do that yet.
Oh, there's low level PvP. It's really good and flexible because they even out your gear for low level PvP, and at 50 the they don't. So until you get to high level PvP, the odds are pretty evened out for most of the time. You have three things called war zones, and what those are like time rounds where either it's on Alderaan where you have this capture the point for a certain. It's a bit like Battlefront where you capture the control points.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's the Void Star, which is an attack and defend. Each round, you either attack or defend the doors, and at the end, there's a computer that the team has to access in order to win, or the team who gets the furthest in that amount of time wins. Mm-hmm. Open world is usually more reserved for 50s, but war zones are pretty good with leveling out.
See, hearing that makes me want to try it more. I've just been so intimidated by it ever since Warcraft. Like, because I played Warcraft, and you would get into the PvP zone, just like, all right, well, I guess I'll try that out, and you just get slaughtered. Like, even at higher levels, there was always somebody who was way better than you at, you know, something.
I would definitely agree that I always found the idea of PvP very, very intimidating.
I thought so, too.
And even the idea of doing the heroics the way that I was thinking of them when I did play World of Warcraft, you know, also sort of had that same intimidation factor where it's like, you know, oh, you have to get really intense, you know, like group up with all these people and do the raid and all that thing. And so I stayed away from that, you know, and I was basically just soloing stuff on my own with my my hunter or my rogue at that point. In Old Republic, I am actually really enjoying the heroics, especially, you know, in part because you don't always necessarily have to wait to group up with other people to do it. And certainly, you know, the fact that, you know, primarily the heroics are either going to be two-person heroics, which in which case, you know, you can probably do them with your companion, or four-person, which is, you know, usually pretty easy to find. I certainly found that that took a lot of that sort of fear factor out of it.
Mm-hmm. Now would probably be a good time to say goodbye to everybody listening and, you know, sign off. And thank you again, everybody, for joining. If, you know, if you decided to listen to this, that would be...
Hopefully you did.
If you turned off halfway and you're no longer listening, screw you. We don't like you anyway.
So thank you, Kim and Trey and Tosh, for you know, chatting with me and, you know, doing the Save Game podcast.
Yeah, likewise. Cool.